If you drive north from Benson long enough, past where the road turns to dirt, you'll reach the tiny community of Cascabel. Decades back, it was a commune, but in recent years, hundreds of new residents have flocked there. In the next part of our Untold Arizona series, KJZZ's Stina C. takes us to a haven for parrots in need of a home.
But before we get there, let me say how many people truly love their birds, even when they sound like this. And methodically knock all the food out of their bowls and onto the floor.
Then I look and think how clever and how much fun they must have had doing it. Right?
Pat Rudikoff makes eye contact with Zeus, one of her 4 2-foot-tall cockatoos. He inches his fluffy white self toward her.
They're my loves. Come over here.
But Rudikoff knows love is not enough. Not when her feather children, as she calls them, are almost sure to outlive her. And her human children don't want them. So she lives close to this. The Oasis Sanctuary, run almost entirely on donations.
We have 800 birds here. I turn away birds every single day.
Already this morning, Executive Director Janet Trumbull has had 3 calls and 2 emails about birds needing a home. She may have to say no to all of them. There's just so little space left.
It's heartbreaking, and I'm going to cry just thinking about it.
Getting a parrot is not like getting a puppy. A cockatoo can live 80 years. A macaw can pass 100. Trumbull says many people are not built for that kind of commitment, but the Oasis is.
We can't help every bird. We take those that we can.
For life. Birds here are not adopted. Those who can live out their days in aviaries, tall, airy buildings filled with various things to eat and perch on and friends to make. But the sick, the old, and the ornery, they have their own cages and one of several trailers on the property, a kind of birdie nursing home.
Bud?
Lillian Morphew tries to calm a speckled gray bird before giving him medicine. She doesn't know a lot about Igor, except that he's totally blind, and says the same phrase over and over. Igor is a bad bird.
So every time he says it, we try to go, Igor's a good bird.
Another bird was found in a trash can with cigarette burns all over his body. For all these birds, Morphew is kind of a nurse and kind of a therapist.
You know, hopefully they forget some of that really traumatic past.
The healing can go both ways. Morphew remembers the first time a bird died while she worked here. She grieved heavily and says a sulfur-crested cockatoo named Skippy could feel it.
And I just remember going into that room and him going, it's okay, Skippy kiss. And you're just like, you know, it makes you cry even more because you could just sense that he knew what was going on and he felt that pain and he was there for you. I mean, they are highly emotional.
That's part of why Morphew and her husband have stayed here 6 years. Pat Rudikoff, from the beginning of the story, gets that completely. After her brother died 30 years ago, she remembers crying on her couch. And that's when Zeus, the cockatoo, jumped on her chest and started licking the tears from her face.
That bird read my soul. He read my anguish, which was not verbal. It was purely a vibe. And he tuned into it.
And in turn, she's dedicated her life to him and to as many birds as she can. She and her husband are on the Oasis board and split their time between Long Island and here.
You know, we tell our kids all the time, we raise them, we put them through college, we gave them the best life possible, and the birds get our will.
And she's not kidding. While Rudikoff still hopes someone in the family will want these cockatoos someday, she's made plans for them to live right here, in the Oasis, in their very own aviary. Stina Sieg, KJZZ News, reporting from Cascabel.